sign, do it. From my horn to the gate that I'm gone, I'm so lost because the lake is too small for real. I'm trying to do it all. I'm playing games, it's time, but it won't stop. So
we're live.
When it gets wrong, cause I'm trying to do it all. Just like a leader stacking that you know what we need to keep it up, but we gon' take my force. Well, cause I'm trying to do it all. Without a pause, and I ain't got no choice but to do better than whatever before. But cause I'm trying to do it all. I'm trying to make the world know me. Stack G's, yet be low key. Get paper with my brothers like the majors, but we so free. So we sign like we on speak. I'm a rhyme like I'm trying to save the earth within the time I'm spending on it. The way my career's going, I might get to spend it on it. Depending on if my minute's longer than 15, I might say a verse and then end the song on a big screen. Picture that from a small town with big dreams. From flying coats to buying coats, I'm in between. I'm not a star. Somebody lied, I ride the subway as a car. I'm getting back, my life is hard. Not on the time, although yes, I'm ready to die. Ain't trying to starve, I'm on the ground. From poverty to a bottom line, and my bottom time to clip it only without a sign. I'm from my home to the gate in the car. I stay lost because the milk is too small for real.
We are live. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome you to the first introductory recording of the currently unnamed podcast of K Chromosome, K Chrome, and Steve Bills, or Chuck Harper. Actually, let's just keep it at Chuck and Steve, not Harper. Anything but Harper. Yes.
Yo.
Currently unnamed podcast, somewhere in between Hip Hop Happy Hour. Mm. You Think It Ain't. Mm. Let It Be Known.
Yep.
Let Me Find Out. Something like that. So we are. This is the first taping. It's a Friday night. The drinks are flowing.
What's your name?
My name is Chuck. Okay. I will be playing microphone number one in this.
All right, this is mic number two, DJ Steve Bills, a.k.a. DJ Steve Bills. What's going on?
Yes. Yes, there it is.
I feel like when you're a hip-hop guy, you have to have several different names for yourself.
Yo, and I'm beginning to think that's why my rap career is where it is that I stuck to, like, maybe one name and then an abbreviated name.
Right.
When really I should have been, like, a.k.a. Double Nickels, a.k.a. Children's National Medical Center, a.k.a. yo, Quadruple Flip Rhyme, a.k.a. Benji.
Right, right. So, yeah, that was the Odyssey record.
Yes, that was the Odyssey record off of the album People Hear What They See. And a very fitting record to start this podcast off with, because both of us were in attendance at Live last night, which is the upstairs at Bohemian Caverns in Washington, D.C., where Odyssey claims home.
This vinyl is kind of cool.
And I'm looking at this vinyl. If you want to pull up a Google image of the vinyl, it kind of looks like my parents' lake house after I go digging for catfish at 4 o'clock in the morning.
It is looks like a catfish. It looks like a microscope, like some amoeba or something.
Like some dirty water.
Let's see if that was just... Let me check the other one here.
Yes, but this is the start of many, many podcasts right here, which will primarily focus on rap music, good rap, bad rap, hip-hop.
Mostly bad rap?
Yes. Well, I think
mostly
that...
Mostly good... Okay. Mostly
oh, wow.
Good
this
rap.
Actually, the other record is even better. Look at that.
What the fuck is it?
That's insane.
Picture vinyl. Picture vinyl is more expensive, so therefore it's collectible.
Yeah, and, you know, props to Odyssey because, honestly, really enjoyed the show last night. Really loving the album. It's currently late October 2012, and there's... It's really been a good year for rap. I gotta say that there's a lot of albums, and we'll run them down at some point that really enjoyed this year. But the Odyssey album is, I mean, I think it's safe to say it's in the top five of 2012, easily.
And this came out in 2000.
Oh, now you're gonna tell me it's not even a 2012 record?
I was gonna say that. Because I don't know. It might have been out in 2011.
Can you verify something for me real quick? Did he do all the beats on that album? Or is there like an asterisk next to one of them that says this is actually produced by K Chromosome or something like that?
All songs produced by Odyssey, vocals by Odyssey, additional instrumentation by Ralph Reel. And then we got a trumpet, a saxophone, a trombone, a tuba player. What was the... Oh, the tuba was on
It was on the MP, right? Last night. They didn't. There was no tuba player.
No, I'm saying what song. I think it's Ready. Is it Ready to Rock that has the tuba on it? There's not many hip-hop albums with tuba nowadays. Or ever.
That's a fair point.
Right?
It's a fair point. Maybe going into a quick recap of the show last night.
Mm-hmm.
I've always had this thing in my head where hip-hop shows can and almost inevitably will be kind of boring. And I thought that last night, in a lot of ways, was a really, really cool show because of it was, like, multifaceted. I mean, I've never been to a rap show where they decided to perch an artist up, and by artist I mean someone drawing or painting, in front of the stage doing portraits. I mean, this guy was, like, Bob Rossing all over the place doing incredible portraits, one during the opening act, which I was also very impressed by, and one during the Odyssey show, which ended up being an Odyssey picture. And I think that it was different, and sometimes, like, different isn't enough to be good, but in this case it was different and creative. And I mean, what did you think of all that?
Did you when you went to Scribble Jam, they had that, right? Where the guys were doing graffiti on the dedicated graffiti walls or whatever during all the performances?
Correct.
Yeah.
Now at Scribble Jam, I still felt it was very compartmentalized because a lot of the pieces were not... You couldn't really see people painting while watching shows,
right,
while watching people breakdance.
Right.
I think the closest you could probably get was that during the breakdancing, you would have people also DJing.
Mm-hmm.
And they would do a good job of getting, like relatively good DJs to DJ the break battles.
Who was DJing the breakers when you were there?
That's a damn good question.
You don't remember.
I want to say, like, Mr. Dibs, maybe. And
okay.
is it Animal Crackers, a crew, or
okay.
5Ds, or one
okay.
of those?
Yeah, 5Ds.
You would probably know better than me. A little background on the show. My history in rap, other than being as large a fan as anyone I know, would be in rapping, whereas DJ Steve Bills, as you would expect, is actually a DJ. So
yeah.
That's two different facets to bring to the show.
I'd like to, you know, loosely a DJ. I would call myself a bedroom DJ at this point. And I'm proud of that. I'm proud that I don't have ambition to get out of my bedroom. And DJ in public.
Yo, but this man will kill your bedroom.
I'm good at the bedroom setting.
I actually want to do a Steve Bills mixtape called Coming to a Bedroom Near You.
That's not a good look.
Pause. Coming to a Chimney Near You. Steve Bills. So actually, now that we're on the Scribble Jam topic.
Yeah.
And what was the year that you went?
Because
I don't believe our years overlapped.
No,
I've probably been to three or four of them. I actually rocked at one of them. Yeah.
I had a college internship at the time at Parsons. You know Parsons?
Parsons University?
No, it's a pretty big engineering firm. So I'm just trying to... This is the way I reconstruct thoughts in my head. What the fuck internship I had. So that was 2000... I graduated 2001. I went to 2001.
Oh, and that's the one I actually have the video of.
Yes.
On VHS.
Yes.
Somewhere where Edon's rhyming at the end of.
So I was,
and that's the one, the battle. A lot of people use the battles as the way of marking the year, and that's ADM and Mac Lethal.
It was ADM and Mac Lethal, and Mac Lethal was killing it, and he lost, and we were hyped. Mac Lethal, I think he was there by himself because I was there with Edon, Skills Ferguson, and a couple of their other friends. And since Mac was there by himself, we were just hyping up Mac before the final round. It's probably why he lost, because we were like, yeah, you got like, kill him, like, you're ill, you know?
And yo, Mac Lethal, if you're listening, Steve Bills would like to apologize.
Yo,
for your loss to ADM.
I was trying to get him hyped
because
up.
Because the weird thing to come out of that is ADM went on to work with one of my favorite producers, Maker, and we could only wonder if Steve would have opened his mouth if Mac Lethal would have done an album with Maker that maybe wouldn't have been quite as abstract.
Then he wouldn't have
actually.
Done
so that dances me into another topic of, you know, every opinions are asshole. They're
right.
Full of shit.
Right,
everybody
right.
got one. And
are you just gonna say that your opinion doesn't matter?
Well, no, but talking on here, I think that we can play it one of two ways.
Right.
And one is that we can really call the shots, and then if people were to actually hear this, they could get really offended.
Mm.
Or we could play the nice guy role. But I think there's beauty and honesty. And I've always used this as Like, there's certain rappers that if they were my boy, I'd be like, dude, you're nice. Like, you're killing it. Keep doing your thing.
Right.
But there are people that if my friend's like, have you heard the new blank?
Right.
I'm not really that interested in it.
Right.
And I think that that's the interesting thing about rap. And sometimes I wondered as an MC if I just fell into that category where people were like, yo, Chuck, like, yeah, keep doing your thing. Like, you wrote that song.
And
that's pretty
like, yeah,
fucking dope.
And they're like, not, yeah, I don't want to hear that dude shit.
Yeah, but they're like, yeah, you know, if I stumbled on this and I lived in Wichita, I might just be like, who's this corny ass dude with the hot beats? All right, a little self-deprecating
humor.
No, but
I understand. But, I mean, I definitely tend to hate a lot, you know, but I think as far as this radio show goes, you know, I probably wouldn't say anything too inflammatory, you know, that I wouldn't say in front of whatever artist. But, you know.
But I guess that's where the question.
Unless they're extra corny, like doing like Taco Bell commercials or something, like I might.
Yes.
Be like, that's corny. Like, stop rapping about mild sauce and fire sauce.
Well, like, I'll pick an example of someone who is mainstream enough that is not going to come after me for saying this. Let's use, like, Royce the 5'9". Like, I, as me, as someone acting like I can speak from the standpoint of an MC, it would be unfair for me to get on my high horse with Royce because I don't have a track like Boom. I don't have a verse like the first verse on Scary Movie. But at the same time, like, I can hear a Royce verse and cringe and see him in, like, the recently done Ice Cube documentary about rap and him comparing himself to, like, a legendary rapper. And I'm just like...
Who did he compare himself to?
No, he actually does a verse about being legendary. And I'm like, you know, with all that rah-rah-rah shit, you're playing yourself. Like, I don't see that from him.
Oh, you said Ice Cube. You mean the Ice-T, the one...
Oh, did I say Ice Cube? I like Ice Cubes in my Ice-T.
Okay.
No, we'll run it back later.
All
actually, right. Hit us up on Twitter, @DJAngelBaby.
What's your Twitter shit?
My Twitter is @KChromosome, and it's... for rap, of course, it has to be spelled incorrectly, so it'd be KCROMOZONE. And if you don't like the New York Giants, you don't like English Premier League soccer, and you don't like rap, it's really the wrong place for you. Unless you, for some reason, have an inkling to hear about the incredible food that I'm eating. Because occasionally I will tweet about really good pizza. Actually, on Wednesday, I went to Cactus Cantina off Wisconsin Avenue in D.C. I didn't tweet about it, but I thought about it. Yes, so that's always an option. But, you know, I think Twitter is an interesting thing where you can really be instantaneous with it. And as long as you're just not all up in everybody's feed, that's okay. Now, Facebook, on the other hand, I think
extra.
You have to use a little bit more caution.
It's extra.
Especially when it comes to pictures.
Yeah.
Gosh.
So, I don't... I'm not a... So if you're a dude or a lady, okay, so when I was single, I'm not single anymore.
Little background. Actually, so I started by saying rapper stuff. So let's even rewind it back a little bit before we go into this, and we'll come back to this very point where we're talking about Twitter and Facebook.
Okay.
But okay, so Chuck, K Chromosome, I've released rap records under the name K Chromosome, under the name Resonation, under the name Head Resonators, also part of the group's first name basis, Old School Vendetta. So a lot of stuff. But give us a quick background on the hip hop history of self proclaimed bedroom DJ Steve Vills,
I
know it runs deeper than that.
I'm just a fan, basically. First and foremost, I would just categorize myself as a fan. Secondly,
second?
Yeah, and second is I've been collecting records since 2000. I've been collecting CDs and tapes. I got a pretty nice tape collection. And I still buy tapes, but, you know, I've been listening to rap since I was, 6 years old or whatever.
I still buy tapes, son.
So, I don't know. Does buying records and buying rap make you know shit about music or anything?
All right, so as a third party listening, yes. I guess in this I might be the second party, but let's not get caught up in semantics.
Right.
That for you to, again, answer that and not even reference having a radio show in college.
Okay,
I was going to get there.
And then, college radio. I DJed college radio. I went to Virginia Tech. I had a radio show for three years. I did Friday nights, 9 to 12, hip hop. It was quote unquote old school and underground, basically, because I was hated everything mainstream. I kind of have snapped out of that since then.
Well, mainstream rap at that point was very bad, and in that regard, I think that at least for myself personally, I would classify myself as a New York rap fan originally. Sure. And that era of, you know, dating ourselves, late 90s to early 2000 college careers, without getting too specific, was right around, like, on some The South Will Rise Again shit for rap with, like, the Master P era, and you had Snoop going to the South and even recording records on No Limit, if I'm correct, and things like that. And it was a bad time.
No, but see, but people...
But actually, segue into... Because I feel the same way, and I even think for 2012 in particular has been a resurgence of mainstream rap. And what I mean by that is I've been able to tolerate or find little rappers that I would... Or like a song here or there that I always wanted to stay in touch with what was popular. But nothing that I actually would bump to the front of my rotation.
Okay.
And whereas in 2012, and I slightly referenced this earlier when talking about the Odyssey album, has been a year where I really have, more so than a lot of years past, had the albums come out whether it's a week or whether it's 2 weeks or whatever, where all of a sudden the time period becomes an album, which is really my experience with hip-hop. When an album like Resurrection or Stakes is High or anything from that era would come out, the Wu-Tang Records, you know, Iron Man, where that was all I listened to for 2 weeks. And finally, again, this year, it was actually mainstream records. And I'll start originally this point by using the Nas Life is Good, which actually went to number one on Billboard.
I didn't realize that.
They call it the Colbert Bump. Shout out to Stephen Colbert. But... That really was an album that I listened to for weeks and weeks, as you know, and as you feel the same way about. And that wasn't necessarily true about mainstream rap for a large chunk of time, maybe even going up to 2011.
Yeah, it's hard to recall. I mean, I have to pull a list up of what came out in 2011. People will probably tell you that, like, the Rick Ross album was, like, really their joint.
Yeah, and I you know, no...
We're not
no disrespect
shots.
To whack rappers like Rick Ross.
Yo.
But this podcast is not for you. So,
but you know
go get
you
a breast reduction.
It's very cliche for two white guys to sit around and talk about rap and not like Rick Ross, right?
That's probably fair, but...
Right?
Is it... Well, what's more cliche? Would it be...
To like... No. It would be ironic if we liked Rick Ross.
It'd be ironic if we knew all this shit we knew about rap and... Oh, is that the first curse word on the podcast?
No, I said fuck earlier.
Okay.
Are we going to not curse?
No, I think we should curse.
Yeah, it's a podcast, right?
I just wanted to, like, ring a curse bell or something like that.
Okay,
like, ding, ding, ding.
So here's what I was thinking.
Shit has made its first appearance.
This is another reason why we need an engineer or somebody, or maybe I'm just going to have to step it up.
Where would we possibly find an engineer in this room?
So, and I'll grab the MPC, and we need some sound effects. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we really do. I actually have the old school, what is that, a Gemini sampler with like the 2 2-seconds, the 2 4-seconds?
Yeah, but I got this shit right here. I've got 64 tracks for sound effects.
I got 64 tracks. Bring more back.
Huh. You know this one?
All right, so this beat is... this is actually the... This song, I believe, is called The Urge, right? Is it called The Urge?
No,
The Yearn. It's called The Yearn.
I like The Urge better.
The Urge, but this is a little background on this song. It was on the America is Dying Slowly. The original song, at least as I've heard it, is on the America is Dying Slowly, which is an acronym for AIDS.
And I actually had this... I might have bought this CD.
But let's give credit. This was the Lost Boys with Pete Rock doing the beat, right?
And that's why I'm playing the instrumental.
Wow. Shout out to Mr. Cheeks.
I think I just... Those shots fired right there.
Shots fired.
All right.
Rest in peace to Freaky Town.
I'm not even trying. I wasn't trying to...
Steve just decided he would stomp on your... I'm not even going
to
go there.
Dude, to even think if Mr. Cheeks approaches me about my podcast recording in 2012.
You should tell him he should get on the track with me.
I'll be like, yo, dude.
Tell him I want to redo Beamers and Benzes.
All right.
But we're going to redo Music Makes Me High.
Uh-huh.
But we're going to make the song called Fuck, I Got Nothing.
I remember, I liked Renee. Renee was the one that I gravitated towards the most.
And there's two versions of Renee,
too. It was the grimy one.
It's the grimy
one,
right?
Yeah, the grimy one was nice, yeah.
And actually, that even goes, we could even segue into that as a topic real quick, where I'm beginning to think, all right, so songs with multiple versions and radio versions is totally a thing of the past in rap.
Yeah.
First I want to point out to the fact that rappers, all right, 2012 rappers, listen up real quick. Jay-Z and people that you claim that are your idols and that are your inspirations used to do two Ice Cube, and this time I really meant Ice Cube and not Ice-T, used to do two recordings of songs. They would actually do a radio edit. I know this is a crazy concept to you guys, and actually write different lyrics that could show up on the radio. And then it was almost like a treat when you got the album version because you knew the one with profanity was the original.
Mm.
So it was this sort of hidden gem when you finally got to hear like Can't Knock the Hustle comes to mind, even though that song is meh, but comes to mind as something where when you hear the album version versus the radio version, it's almost two different songs lyrically because there was so much stuff that had to be changed. And even in the lines that stayed, you can hear Jay sort of delivering them different and
stuff
like that.
You're saying
that
they record the same verse twice, but just not.
But with different curse stuff, and it almost sounded like it was done, you know, weeks apart once they decided it was a single. What I originally meant to go to when I brought it up is that songs like One More Chance by the Notorious B.I.G., there's actually three different versions of that song. There's one that's like sort of sappy that, you know, your girlfriend will like, your mom will like. There's one that
the one with the little pianos.
Then there's another like radio version with those same lyrics that kind of cranks and has a reggae sample. Yep.
No, that's Dropping Signs. It was a Craig G.
You're right. It is a Craig G sample.
Well, it's Marley Marl, but.
Yes, for some reason that sounds reggae to me, but it's definitely not.
It's Lou Donaldson.
Shout out to Lou Donaldson.
Shout out to Lou Donaldson, man.
This is the first time a sample has been exposed on the Let Me Find Out podcast.
Hey, listen, that's an easy one. I can nail the easy ones. I'm not going to come with like some obscure Polish rock, Polish jazz samples right now.
But then there's also the Give Me One More Chance or One More Chance that's on the album.
Okay.
I mean, it's extremely thorough. It starts with the montage of voicemails that's I've been waiting outside for like a fucking hour, you know, and it goes.
Tell me, what's the one that he starts it off, Give Me All the Chicken Wings?
It's Give Me All the Chicken Heads
from
Pasadena to Medina.
I thought it was Chicken Wings.
No, but that actually would have been very interesting.
Are you sure?
I think if it was Give Me All the Chicken Wings, it'd be on like a BW3.
Yo, are you sure?
Buffalo though? Wild
Give
Wings.
Give Me All the Chicken Wings. No, I just love how
discriminating against fat people.
Yeah,
right now.
I think that was semi-racist, actually. I apologize for that.
I don't even go racism. I just think that you hate fat people.
No. Yeah, so what's up?
So I do think it's interesting how many songs had like different facets or faces to them, now like
there's a swimming pool remix, the Black Hippie remix for swimming pools though.
Okay, so swimming pools. So let's bring it full circle. It's a little scatterbrained right now, but bring it full circle back to the conversation of mainstream hip hop,
right?
And say, you know, the Nas album Life Is Good
was cranking.
What? Give me off the top of your head, and I'll chime in if you miss anything.
Yeah.
Of mainstream rap albums from like, even let's just say the last two or three years that sort of break that from that mold of say a Master P record, which I had no interest in listening to, and I knew I wasn't missing anything by not checking.
Well, easy ones are the Kanye, probably the Watch the Throne joint was cranking.
Yeah, Watch the Throne is nice. All you underground bitter people can just deal with it.
My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy was cranking.
Was that Fantasy at the end of that? I think we might have some fun with that on the playback.
My beautiful dark.
I think you have a beautiful. I think you have a beautiful dark twisted fanny right now.
Did I say fanny?
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. All right, but go on.
And then, can I just shoot right to Kendrick right now?
Are we missing anything? So Kanye. Oh yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, we're missing plenty of stuff. But
I mean, shoot right to Kendrick because. I don't think Section 80 is viewed as a mainstream record.
Okay.
But I think that Good Kid, Mad City...
It probably should be. You know what? We could probably drop the J. Cole in there, you know?
Yeah.
That's definitely mainstream, and that...
Now, the thing about the J. Cole joint, though, is that I don't know if I can put it in the category of albums, like front-to-back albums. Okay. I respect... You know, as I sat here and diss rappers left and right, and by the way, I do want to, since we're talking about Kendrick Lamar, on the song The City, if we're going to be honest about stuff, the game referring to himself as a top five MC might be the most laughable comment of the last 20 years.
What did he say that?
He lumps himself in. He's like, who's your top five? Is it Jay-Z, Game, Nas, Biggie? Like, I forget who else he lists. I don't think Big L's on the list. I don't think Eminem's on the list. But apparently Game is on the list.
He's nice.
Yeah, that's sarcasm at home.
That's a case of like a guy with... a lot of ambition, you know? I think ambition wins out more than talent sometimes in rap
music. Can't knock the hustle.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, a lot of people would have given up if they went on Change of Heart with their girl and she did decide to have a change of heart. Why am I taking jabs? That's wrong.
That's whatever. You know?
That's wrong.
He might have just been like an aspiring actor or something and wanted to, you know.
That's a fair point.
His manager was like, go on the show and pretend to do this.
And maybe
do you hate this right?
What is this awful track that's on in the background?
Yo, I just grabbed like a handful of instrumental. Let me turn this off, man. Yeah,
turn that bullshit off.
There you go, hold up.
We might have to edit.
And I am.
All right, so I'm gonna grab the record that was just playing.
I am.
That record is for all you that are sitting on the edge of your seat, waiting to buy this online. That record is actually Jewel's Santana.
See, I have.
It came out on Rockefeller Records.
All right, let's get back to the...
It's in stores now. Okay. It's in stores now, and that was either Now What featuring T.I., but I have a feeling it was actually Down.
The song is Down. This is the more obvious choice for two white guys talking about rap.
Yeah, we should probably talk over Nas's like. We should probably sit here and talk about how the world of hip-hop production stops and ends with Premier, Pete Rock, J. Dilla... And who am I leaving off the list?
I'm starting to think. Oh, dude, I was at Guitar Center today.
But I don't agree with the comment.
Can you hear me though? Okay.
Yeah.
Speaking of RZA.
Okay.
And if I interrupt you, just maybe a signal like, "Hey, Steve, stop interrupting me."
Was that okay? You got it.
No, I'm just saying if you don't want me to interrupt you because I tend to do that.
Go for it.
So I was at Guitar Center today. Looking at equipment because I want a new mixer, and there was like on one shelf had all the Beats by Dre headphones on there, and then right next to it was like the Beats by RZA headphones were on there.
Wow, this is news to me.
Okay, so like yeah, that guy RZA's like he's on top of everything, you know. Like, so Dre makes some money. And I think it was, like, the Dre headphones were $99.99 or some shit, and his were, like $99.97 or some shit.
That's incredible. I can't say I'm surprised that somebody...
Didn't do that?
...went to go down the Dr. Dre route, because it is a... You know, it was a great marketing move by Dre, and has obviously been successful.
It's lucrative.
And I think that... For that person to be RZA, in hindsight, that also makes sense.
It's better that it's RZA, you know?
I mean, I guess if in the grand scheme of things, the fact that it's not Rick Ross, the fact that it's not 2 Chainz.
Can I take that
2 Chainz?
Can I
stop making headphones before it starts, 2 Chainz?
People love 2 Chainz. I'm not gonna lie.
Give us a call, 866 we don't have a phone. 866 we don't have a phone. Let us know why you like 2 Chainz. Oh, we're getting
now,
no calls.
Now the Rick Ross thing, for me, it just seems like that guy is he's lying. I guess he's perpetrating, right? So this dude it was a correctional officer, and now he's basically took an infamous person's name, right, and is running with it. And in his content, his material is kind of perpetuating negative stereotypes. And that's my problem with it.
And it really points to a bigger, I don't want to say issue, because right. I'm not like the hip-hop police.
Right.
But it points to a bigger sort of change in the rule book of rap, was that, you know, people used to get ripped off stage for being whack and being fake, and that's just not the case anymore. And Rick Ross is the type of guy that everyone knows this is a joke. And
I don't know.
I always point to this element with 50 Cent, where 50 Cent, if you listen to his lyrics, and I'm not going to take shots at his lyrical content or anything other than the fact that if you hear him in interviews, he does not drink. He has not been a drinker for 10 years. But every song is like champagne this and popping bottles that and all that, where, you know, if, let's just use sexual preference as a reference. Like, let's say a guy came out, uh-huh. and let's use uh-huh. a certain, I don't know, let's just like use a rapper. Let's use, actually, it's generic rapper A. So okay. Generic rapper A comes out and is like, yo, I'm gay. I like dudes.
Uh-huh.
And then continued.
Would he do that in a
continued,
song?
No, just did it off the album. Just did it in an interview, and everyone knew. But then the next album drops, and the song was like, "I get pussy." You know, like how hypocritical that would be, and how how that would just not work, because right. it's such a polarizing issue. Whereas Rick Ross can sit there and be that hypocritical. I mean, even the 50 Cent thing is nowhere near the level of what Rick Ross is doing, but no one seems to care. Now, being a hip-hop nerd, I assume that everyone knows that this is the case with Rick Ross.
No,
Is it a question of ignorance? In the age of communication, in the age of Twitter, Facebook, Google News, and all this, you're saying that there's just a lot of Rick Ross fans that don't know?
No, they don't care. He got it passed, dude.
And why did he get a pass?
He got a pass.
Is it because of his blazing lyrical ability?
Yeah, no. It is. I'm not saying that.
Or
I'm
is it because of the viral nature of Tupac Cat?
Okay, so it's because people feel like he, number one, I guess he gets credit for choosing. Okay, I guess to his credit, he chooses beats that work well with his style or whatever, and like he never really goes too far to like mess up a track, I guess.
And I like that you danced around from calling his production good, because I was ready to pounce like your cat waiting to take a piss on my record bag.
Okay, so production is something that for me, I change a lot of what type of style I like or whatever, you know. Sometimes I'll like, you know, this right here, and you'd probably be like, this is cheesy. Can you even hear that?
Yeah, you this can is hear that. Hey DJ, won't you play that song?
Hey DJ, go play that song.
Yes, no, that's fine.
So you could see why people like my radio show in college, because I would be playing this song, and like, they're like, I'm going to change the radio. I want to hear Super Thug or something.
Yes, it probably
But yeah, I think people give that guy a pass.
The good thing about college is people were probably doing a lot of drugs.
They were drunk.
Very drunk.
Actually.
And a lot of girls were in rooms that the radio was just on, and, you know, neither person was going to get up off the bed to change the channel. So they were just like, hopefully after Hey DJ, we'll hear a song we can fuck to.
Well, it was Friday nights, 9 to 12, so that's prime pre-drinking hours, right? So
I guess, yeah, I guess 9 to 12 is not 9 to 12 fucking hours.
It was pre-drinking time.
Pre-drinking.
So on Friday, on a Friday night. So I was in a fraternity, and so
I don't know, if you go to happy hour, 9 to 12 is
that is actually
time.
Pretty strong. Yeah, that's strong. But we would take, I would always, you know, drop the number for the line, and it was, we gave shout outs all the time. So I feel like that was a good way to keep the audience, you know, to keep them interested. Like,
oh,
they get
so they
to hear
call
their
and
name.
They'd be like, yeah. I just want to give a shout out to Mark. He's in the, he's in dorm number 7.
He's in Pi Phi Sig.
He's in Mark over at Pi Phi Sig. This Natty Bo goes to you. Steve Bills, check it out.
And you could tell this is probably the closest thing to what my radio persona was like back then, which is not very radio. But like the you know, I don't keep the mic right in the correct area or whatever. Should we pause that?
Pause
that. So, yeah. And then, you know, I think I just lost my train of thought.
I think we were talking about Rick Ross.
Let's not talk about Rick Ross anymore.
why has there been a hang up on Rick Ross? I want to go back to Kendrick, because I feel you've got some stuff to say on Kendrick. Good Kid, Mad City. All right, so the date is sometime in late October. I never know what day it is.
Today is the 20th.
But I know that the album dropped on the 22nd.
Okay.
Both the people in this studio probably had the album a week or two before it dropped. With that being said, I haven't given it its fair shake.
Okay.
There's parts of it on first listen that I really like. There's parts I'm sure that will grow on me, but as someone who's listened to it more, you know, give me just like the 60-second synopsis on Kendrick Lamar now that Kendrick Lamar is a mainstream artist.
Well, I'll tell you this. When I first heard, you sent me snippets a couple weeks back, and I listened to them on my cheap iPhones, headphones, and like the first thing I did was hate on it because it didn't sound like Section 80 to me. But now that I've actually...
He's not even talking about Keisha anymore.
Yeah, so... But there is a... Like, the first song is actually a Keisha-type song, okay? Can I switch this record real quick?
Switch the record. All right. I can provide a little background while you... Steve Bills is working double duty. He's playing the instrumentals in the background while we do this. On vinyl, I know that's a crazy concept to a lot of people, that we are actually sitting here with two Technique 1200s playing records. I know that's a mind-boggling thought. I went to a hip-hop show recently, and I was DJing for a friend of mine, and I brought a CDJ, assuming I would actually be able to plug into like a mixer that other people were using. But there were only the cords that people were plugging their laptops into.
No.
Yes. So, and of course, a laptop has volume control, whereas a CDJ does not. So it was a very interesting problem where I was not able to control the volume from track to track. And I made a joke about it where I said, it's such a 2000 problem that this next instrumental, I need to tell the sound man to turn it up because we ripped it off of vinyl.
So you were pointing at the sound man to DJ?
Yeah, I was like, can you turn this up? Because this next one is really low because we took it off of vinyl. And you can almost hear everyone in the crowd be like, ugh.
Really? They didn't like that?
Whereas I said, you know, God forbid that I thought I was going to a rap show that had 17 acts performing and there might be one mixer on stage at some point.
There wasn't even
the
a
mixer?
How is it not even a mixer?
Everyone was rocking on laptops. I saw a dude rock off his cell phone.
No.
Put it on airplane mode so he didn't get a call or text during his set.
Which is very ingenious.
Which is just hilarious. And you know that that's learned from experience.
He's like, you know,
someone was in the middle of shit and then they like broke into their ringer, which just happened to be like the Betty Hill music or something. And they were like in mid verse killing it. And then it was like, all right, I digress. All right, we do have records going now, so give me a... I didn't give any background on Kendrick, but...
No, the Kendrick album, it's awesome, man. And I, you know what, like, I feel bad because the first thing I did, which is usually my gut reaction to things that are new, is hate immediately, but the album is incredible, man. And I was saying to Morgan last night, I might have even told you, I don't know, I was drinking, but... it's really like a movie, and it's like Memento or like Pulp Fiction in the way that he's telling a story all about like one night, I guess. It's like a day in the life of Kendrick.
Okay.
Told from different perspectives of people who are part of that story.
That's insane.
It's insane, and it's pieced together like, you know, one starts in the morning, like he has a call with his mom and dad about borrowing the car, and then like, you know, I think the first song is him in his car driving to go meet a girl, right? And then the skit after that is his mom calling him like, hey, bring the car back. You know, your dad wants his Dominoes or some stuff, and I want to go to the store. And then it goes to the next song where he's, I don't know if he's at school or something, but he gets, he goes to the girls, he goes to this girl's house to meet up with her, and he gets set up, he gets beat up. Then they go to, like, get revenge on the dudes who beat him up. And then he flips perspectives where he's the guys who just beat him up or whatever. It's a trip, man. And so it goes through the whole day, and, like, different parts of the day. But, I can't believe how incredible this guy is at painting a picture. And
well, and to think about the fact that just Kendrick Lamar in style alone, doesn't really have to be doing that to drop an album and have it do well. And I think it's a credit to him and almost an inspiration for everyone out there that's still trying to create music. That people are putting bullshit albums out, and this guy's doing something that creative and taking that sort of angle on it. Because as someone who's written rap songs before, and not to put myself in the same category as Kendrick Lamar or anyone that I've dissed on the show today, it's hard, you know, it's challenging, and Kendrick has such a unique way of flowing that he could have done 12 tracks of, like,
"You're saying
I'm the best
nothing.
Rapper. And it would probably be getting almost as much buzz as this
album.
But I think
that... I think...
No, right now. I think what an album like that gives is staying power.
No, but I think that it also is part of the hype, though, is that dude is coming with honesty.
Okay.
Like, he's coming with supreme honesty about just being, a regular person who is caught up in whatever. And, like, it connects with the listener. Like, even... Chuck and I, K Chromosome, and I went Chromosome.
Chuck is fine.
All right, so me and Chuck went to the Kendrick Lamar show at Ram's Head a few months back, and, like, the opening acts were cool, whatever, but I thought the energy was completely different when he started rocking, man. Like, everybody knew every word to the song. I mean, like, people were smiling, jumping up and down. And, dude, I was doing the same thing because I...
And to clarify the date on... Not to cut you off, but to clarify the date on this, this is prior to Good Kid, Mad City dropping.
Yeah, this is...
Swimming Pools was performed.
The Recipe was performed.
But I don't think
there,
anything else off that album was really touched because it wasn't out yet.
Right.
It was mostly Section 80 stuff. And I did hear, like, Pussy and Patron and maybe a couple other things.
Which
off
is cranking.
Off the Overly Dedicated mixtape.
Right.
Maybe there's... Isn't there, like, a Michael Jordan track that
There's a Michael Jordan bitch...
Yeah, which is probably from... Is that from a different...
It's from Overly Dedicated. It's from 2009 or whatever.
There was a gripping, of the audience that, to me as a fan and not really knowing that much about some of the other acts that were on stage, I almost couldn't believe that these people liked Kendrick Lamar. Because for me as someone who would put... I don't know, De La Soul Stakes is High and, like, say, Smith & Wesson The Shining or something as, like, two top 10 albums. And, you know, we can debate whether you agree with that, but you probably have them in the top 50.
Sure.
That as someone coming from that sort of school of thought and viewing Section 80 as an album that was for me, to see a bunch of people that are probably fans of not those records and fans of other things and them having the connection to Kendrick, it made me wonder if he's like a ubiquitous rapper sort of speaking to everyone because his style is so unique or what that really says about him as an artist moving forward.
Well,
and his ability to just capture the overall blanket that is hip-hop culture.
Dude, I think he shares similar elements with Big. I don't know, just the way that he just connects with the everyday person. You know, I can see the same shit that, you know, Jay has where, you know, he's somebody who's being honest for the most part about his experiences. Like, the passion of, like, Pac or something like that.
Chiming in as an MC, like, I see everything
freestyle
from Souls of Mischief,
like,
Freestyle Fellowship, like, Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Right.
To you know, Eminem in a lot of ways with the structures and things like that, and not that it's like a throwback, but we're going Magic Mystery Record Grab.
Yo,
right,
grab
here.
A Magic Mystery Record, and they're...
Is this a good rack right here,
dude? Yeah, whatever. No, it's fine. No, don't pick from there. Pick from the shelf down there. That's all rap. You play Edon records?
No, it looks like I'm grabbing an Edon.
Yo, hold up. All right, hold up. Some of those are sealed, actually.
Oh,
so.
Son of a bitch.
Be gentle with the records. Is that a DJ? Is that a DJ Jet? Oh, no.
Yes. And we ain't got nothing to prove.
Wow, you really just grabbed
La Schmoove.
Yo,
shout out to Kay Murdoch, who is the mastermind behind the Subsonic podcast, which was the closest I've come to doing something like this is the fellows over at Subsonic, which, you know, shout out Kay Murdoch, KB, Deuce Quattro, who I ran into last night at the show. The Odyssey show. When I did a song with Kay Murdoch that showed up on his album, I actually made reference to the chorus of the song. So
was this
big ups to La Schmoove.
That guy that you met last night? Or that I met last night?
Yes, the guy who was saying he had played the junkie in the Kane Mayfield video.
Yes, yes.
Yes, is the...
You did a track with him?
No, but he was on the Subsonic podcast.
Okay.
It was another guy from that show who I did do a track with that was released on his album on... I want to say Stone's Throw, but I might be wrong on that. I don't know what it's on. It's on something. We'll have to look it up.
What's his name?
His name is Kay Murdoch.
Kay Murdoch.
Neosonics Production, I believe, is the managing label that put that out.
Okay.
And the song is called One Hit Wonderful. So if you're by the Google bar, Kay Chromosome, One Hit Wonderful, it'll show up.
What's your highest selling song on iTunes right now?
My highest selling song on iTunes? I would have to look it up, but I think it's actually... some of the stuff. It's either shout out Napoleon the Legend is either the track I did with Napoleon or the songs that I did with Nick the Wonder, who's on Mellow Music Group, have actually been selling pretty well as well.
Oh yeah, those beats on that single were really good, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Did Nick you put that out? Was that on vinyl?
It was intended to be on vinyl, but it never
CD
came out.
Single. I have the CD single somewhere.
Yeah, I did. I put it on iTunes. Was going to do Wax, and then there was sort of an area where. It felt like people weren't buying records as much.
Right.
So you can't really get a pressing less than 500, and I thought I'd be left with 300.
That's a lot. Yeah, that's a lot of records to have.
And, I mean, you don't want more than two.
I will take two. I might take four.
Although behind me is 19 Edon records.
There's not. There's just a couple extra ones. All right, hand me another one. Hey, hold up. You know what would be funny if we weren't recording this whole time?
Oh, check it.
And then you would kill me.
All right, no, we're good.
47
Actually,
minutes. All right, so
minutes.
You know what?
Play,
so let me drop some music, and we'll just that's it. We
I
got
need to refresh
minutes.
My drink. You know, Jack.
I'm gonna hit pause here, and then
let's hit pause. Let's come back. We'll do some.
I'll drop some records.
Well, you drop some records. Maybe I'll even kick a freestyle or something.
All right, cool.
You know, maybe we'll sneak a cigarette break in there. But I think we're going well. This is episode one of Let Me Find Out.
All right.
Chuck and Steve, K Chrome, Steve Bills.
Yep.
You know, just doing it. And it's a Friday night in 2012.
Dude, you can't just say Chuck and Steve just doing it.
Pause. Doing it and doing it and doing it well. I represent Queen. She was raised out in Brooklyn.
All right, let's do that.
Dead air. Rule number one in radio, no dead air. No, but for real, coming back,
hey,
just
yo,
took a quick
I
break.
Been out. I'm deadly when
and
I pull the pin
right
out.
Now.
Keep fronting, I'ma try your chin out. I knocked a lot of men out. I left them on the floor spitting phlegm out. It's either that or I'ma squeeze the gat and pop sin out. You see Cody on ice spinning, jigged out white linen. And if a bitch don't like me, she must like women. Every time I come around, you see your wife grinning. Don't be mad cause your career's in the ninth inning. It's over now, nigga, leave the game. I'm from the danger zone where MC's the slain. We're thugs that never hesitate to squeeze the flame. Where niggas be taking drugs just to ease the pain. Hustlers flip cokey, 48 hours like Nick Nolte. When I was OT, yo bitch broke me. Told to stay home, I dived in it. Left her thighs in it. Now that bitch be paging me every 5 minutes. MC's are scorching the face. It's all about the Benji. So why your bills got washed his face? A lot of cats be frontin'. Singles with a video on top. L trying to have the city on lock. Beast up Biggie and Pop, cause they really were hot. Rap game heavy hitters, it's a shame they no longer with us. Niggas wanna be L, ladies wanna see L. If I go to jail, you in dirt saying free L.
Right now, the Let Me Find Out podcast. I just want to point out that this mix is actually going down with Vinyl Records on Technique 1200. Feels weird, you gotta clarify that, but it's 2012. Pardon the skip.
Representing it, sorry. Open as a mango. Deep thoracic, grave diggers and massive, putting niggas in caskets, blowing like the wind. When I'm in my spin, they got fucked across the path with a twist. You face the storm and bring it on and get chopped in the box. It's got the birds. My mental ward is my brainstorm. Somehow I flipped, they came equipped with a chainsaw. Listen,
baby, pays my rent for the day. Some hate the image that I must portray. Critic say, go to hell. Motherfucker, I'm already here. Frustrated, mentally aggravated to be the rebel that society created. I'm good most times, but when I'm foul, then I'm flagrant. Living in the shadows like a government agent.
One side of the story. Shit coached up from Gravedigger's laboratory. Transferring brains with remains of a slug. Let the Undertaker make the beats that's bug. Half of created. Flitting jeans, chopping necks with the fat guillotines. I'm your nightmare. One verse, we'll put your ass in my blast.
Enter the graveyard chamber. It's like someone digging inside your ear with a anger. I'll intact my way this anger to your finger of all your life forces. I'll change your eye. Thirsty, thirsty for sure. About to bless the same ones who blessed us the more. You're not safe anymore. To all the holy spooks, I declare war. I'll rape them up from hell. Resurrect them from the poisonous wounds of swine. I disinfect them. Positive energy activates. Constant elevation. Positive energy activates. Constant elevation.
Out of the dark. Out of the dark. Out of the deep, out of the darkness, out of the grave, out of the grave, from the parts unknown, from the world that's unknown. Fear what they don't understand. So this is why we're here, to explain that there's nothing to be afraid of. They have no fear.
Jump in and say what records have been played. So we've had the Gravediggers. Right now you've got some J Lib, Matt Dilla. One of the two. The song is called The Red.
I put the tape on, then I watch you 3 seconds later. I watch you shaking your head, dancing and staying or sitting. The rhymes kick, the beats hitting you just like a home run, slamming like a slam dunk. Ride the wave. James, like it happened to me. How you think it feel to see another MC get paid? Using my rap style, and I'm playing the background. Meanwhile, I ain't with that. You can't forget that. You took my style. I'm taking it back, coming back, like Return of the Jedi. Sucking MCs in the place that said I could only rock rhyme and only rock crowds, but never rock records. How you like me now? Like a pony, I'm no phony, I'm
you're supposed to be played. New Jacks, you all should have stayed out of the business. What is this amateur night at the Apollo? Get off this stage. I'm enraged, just like lion trapped inside of a cage. I'm the real king. Rap is a jungle. I never understood how could one go to a party, watch me, stand around and jock me, become a rapper, then try to rock me. Scheming like a demon, you're screaming and dreaming. I'm from the old school. I used to see men die for less, but I'm not living that way. I let my mic do the talking and let the music play. But of course, why else would you try so hard to paint a picture and try to get yourself in my shoes? But they will get you out bigger and better. Forget about Deffa. Every time I rock the mic, I left a stain in your brain that will remain stuck in the back of your brain until you see me again. Respect, I come correct. The rhymes I select are nothing short of perfect. Vernacular pure, and I can ensure life or death with my breath. My voice is a cure, I feel life. From the words I spread, I'll make a sick man rock on his deathbed. Sucker MCs, I'll make your girl say, ow, she's jocking. Now how you like me now?
On the mix right now, killing it. How you like me now? This beat a podcast. And I'ma spit a quick rhyme, 'cause it's about that time. And we could do it. K Chrome is on the microphone, so get under that microscope. You know I like that dope rap, so you can hold back. You'll throw that back like an old throwback that you're putting on eBay and pay. The copyright laws now changing up, ask the Supreme Court. I'ma do it quick and you're all coming short. Short against the rap, short against the podcast. I'ma make a long cast with the fishing rod, 'cause I'm getting on with a sick flow. We can get those, it's fatter than Crisco. Lyrical schizo, it's a schizophrenic. When I grab the pen and put it down, you can't forget it, remember it, feel it in the sediment. That be my sentiments. The concrete all up on the street in the asphalt, that's where you ask for. Steve Bills, he was on the mix, and we start the podcast, and I'm like, oh shit. A couple minutes in, call it 55, and I'll be ripping live, and then I'm getting mine with a ill style from here to Alcatraz. 'Cause I'm about that cash, like I was Rick Ross. You can get tossed, and you slip on moss that's on the side of a rock. Nobody throws to Randy Moss anymore. I was kinda shocked. Yo, I kinda jock. Ill raps and ill beats, so feel me. Like I'm bouncing down a New York street. Bouncing down a New York street. Every other rhyme, you can hear it, it completes a sentence and a thought. Never have you caught a rhyme with a subject and a predicate. You get the best of it. I call that shit rhetoric, so never forget who the ill one. I got skills, son, and you're missing the first part. Check the way my words start. I hit the earth with a dart. Call it a bullseye. I sit in the back of the room and smile like I'm a cool guy. I look at girls like I got cool eyes. You can't move my needle off the top. Speaking when I rhyme, and believe it, you can jock. Believe that. Who got the props? Was a song by two different groups. One was Black Moon, one might have been the Beatnuts. Smile every time you see Chuck, and you can wave too. It doesn't matter that I hate you, 'cause I'm about to break through and make news. Freestyle, son. I got a lot of them. I got a lot of friends. Roads, they got a lot of cement. 'Cause I'm an engineer. 2012, and they say the end is near. It was coming in December, clear. I think it was one of them teen days. You watch teen pregnancy shows on eBay or MTV. Hey, I used to wanna be a VJ. Now I hang out at Steve Bill's house and check what the next record is that he plays. He's out of records. You got a couple hours, but you're out of seconds. I'm eating hour laters, but I'm out of peanuts. So speak up. Speaking of peanuts, there was a character named Charlie Brown. There was also a rapper named Charlie Brown. He was on Scenario. There we go. Going around like a merry-go at the carnival. There's a casino called the Carnival. Also a cruise ship. Yo, the way I move shit is like people who got loose lips. When they do this, be like, boo, kid. Stop fucking up shit. Keep your mouth shut. Everybody got the volume turned up. I be like, word up, it's a podcast. Gonna put everybody on blast. When I speak my mind and start to shit on MCs like Rick Ross and Royce the 5'9". Cause I'm down with these flows and spent last night at the Odyssey show. So act like you know, or know how to act. Know that I rap, know that it's fact. And pass it back to Steve Wills on the whack, whack, whacks.
The mad scientist extra P about to set up shop and drop this next degree on the masses. Here's the live guy with glasses of flushing, known for programming a percussion, bass lines, etc. Check me out and I'll betcha the one that claims he's the best can't catch ya. Beat like I catch it cause it's downright wretched. Put it through the S950 then stretch it to create the great type of shit to fit. My reputation's full-fledged, yo, zip the lip. I'm about to set it on society, watch me while I do it. My man, I've been through it and don't know many who it. Be able to survive after things that I've gone through, the born true and living, though I'm driven by everything real, and I know how to deal. You think I'm lying? It's the mad scientist. The mad scientist. The mad scientist. The mad scientist. Never had a basement, never had an attic, only an apartment where I forever had static. For me doing a beat and got through in the street, even put in a cell, living in hip-hop hell so far in my career. But I'm still here to organize for your eyes and drop science on your ear. A strong black rebel who loves the track level, kind of loud, so turn it up so I can find a crowd to rock and now concoct something ill for real. Coming to my laboratory where you can't stand still and the phone keeps banging. All my beats hanging on the block, this one's for you. Time to rock on a higher plateau, and I'll supply a fast show wherever I go. Yo, you can't front on flake or even scientist. Your man lost, Professor Mad Scientist. The Mad Scientist. The Mad Scientist.
Very hip-hop in here right now. Steve Bills just laid down an incredible mix for all the peeps at home.
Yeah.
Steve Bills' microphone has been turned back on.
Is this level way louder?
No, that's good right there.
It's good?
That's good right there.
Hey, thanks to everybody who's... This might just be one channel.
No, I said... I was like, it sounds good in here. How's yours? Is it good in yours?
Yeah, I'm only hearing what's coming out of the turntable.
Okay. No, we're good. We're good.
Hey, thanks for everybody for listening. Pardon any mixes in my mistakes in my mixes or whatnot, but shit, it went all right, you know?
No, I thought
it... I ain't trying to go crazy or anything.
I thought it was dope. I mean, I don't want to gas you up, but I always enjoy watching you or hearing you mix it up, so I think it's a pleasure for those tuning in, you know? I think, unfortunately, the part that might get skipped is the talking part, and people might just be like, let's get to the... Wait, let me just skip forward to... Oh, he's mixing here. So if we got any trouble, it's going to be trying to elevate the talking game for these suckers at home.
I agree. And do you have a new appreciation for Kumo D now that you hear him spinning over a Premiere beat and shit now? No.
Probably, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah.
To be fair. I mean, I think that that's a...
He was killing it, though, right?
Yeah. There's a lot of truth to the fact that some of the songs that were bare bones...
Right.
...sort of stole away from the rappers, whereas Premier can make Guru sound like he was super nice with it. Recipes. The 17, 21, 18, 21.
Oh, the illest one. Almost over to anyone. Ha, ha, ha.
Who's
ha.
This beat right here? This is off this Q-Tip, Dilla, right? Yeah, the Renaissance?
Q-Tip is Dilla. Yeah, Dilla.
J Dilla. Yeah. Just two white dudes talking about rap with some J Dilla instruments.
That is very ironic, actually.
We're not doing anything predictable here. We're shitting on Rick Ross.
Sitting on balls.
Bumping. Q-Tip sitting on yoga balls. Oz. I'm still waiting for the first rap song that's like, yo, shout out to all the people doing yoga.
I think Homeboy Sandman actually had that line about practicing. He got a bit of Bikram. He's big on vinyasa.
He's big on vinyasa.
There's something to be said about Homeboy Sandman.
866, we don't have a phone. 866, we don't have a phone. Feel free to call in and tell us whether you're bigger on Vinyasa or Bikram.
And,
that's a hot debate in the hip-hop community right now. I wonder if Kendrick Lamar is more of a Bikram guy, a la Kobe Bryant, who's from L.A., or a Vinyasa guy, a la Paul Gasol.
And, at Spoonie79, Twitter.
Yes.
I can't, you know what, fuck me.
Spoonie would be S-P-O.
Nobody's gonna tweet me.
Double O, S-P-O-O-N-I-E 79. Oh, you'd be surprised, there's a lot of hate on the internet. Like, we could get 30 people, we would get 30 people to listen to this.
I actually would like that.
And 25 of them would tweet you about how bad the podcast is.
Okay, dude, but I've actually gone and listened to some hip-hop podcasts, and I know for a fact that I can DJ better than some people who are on right now, who have podcasts that are popping.
All right, so...
You know, no, that's no... I'm not...
We're not going to let you go all the way there. Give me one name of someone that you are clearly... Because...
No,
and
no,
I'll
no.
do it for rappers if we need to do it.
Give me one person
who's in the mix that you're clearly better than.
No, I can't. I would never do
You can't
that.
Give one name.
No, actually, I can dis... And maybe this is...
What's weird about only giving one name is now you're just singling that one dude out.
Right. No. And I would never dis... For me, it's like I don't ever dis a DJ who's on because they're on and I'm chilling in my bedroom making podcasts.
Bedroom DJ Steve Wills.
But I could easily diss an MC because I don't. That's not what I do. And there's a little bit more freedom when it's something that you don't actually do. And you probably feel the same way about rappers. Like, you would be a little more hesitant to diss somebody who's on right now because you realize how much work goes into doing that. But if you heard a whack DJ, you'd be like, yeah, that dude's whack. Why are you putting all your time and effort into this when you obviously suck? But...
All right, so now's the point where you write down on a piece of paper the DJ you would like me to shit on.
I will tell you. All right.
And I slide in and be like, you know who's really whack on the wheels right now that's got a podcast popping?
Oh, shit. All right.
You want to shout out any of the podcasts or rap that you do like? You know, let's go positive.
Right, okay, number one podcast that I love right now is The Combat Jack Show.
There you go.
I think it's awesome. I love the format. I think the hosts are like super dynamic. They have a really good chemistry together. This guy Premium P is the funniest motherfucker. Number two, obviously Juan Epstein. I listen to that shit all the time.
Yes.
Number three, Bill Burr.
I was really going hip hop. Yeah. I don't have to pull like Ron and Fez in, but I think for hip hop right now. You know, I've yet to check the Combat Jack, but I've only heard positive things from you. I'm obviously a big fan of Juan Epstein, as anyone listening to this should be. And then on top of that, I mean, you know, We Funk Radio is
We
cool.
Funk Radio is
like,
cool.
I'm a big fan of that.
Stone's Throw Podcast is always awesome.
Yeah, I haven't dove into that. What was the stuff you were playing when we drove back from Ocean City?
Radio Lab?
We listened to some hip-hop podcasts. Maybe that might have been the only time I heard Combat Jack.
Maybe
it was the one where the Roots were on. Oh, no, that might have been like an old Was that an old like Stretch and Barbito episode?
Yeah, okay. For sure.
So that's not new or cutting edge. That would actually
that's
be.
That's not new, but old. There are old Stretch and Barbito shows floating around the interweb that are awesome, and Lord Sear is fucking hilarious. So.
Yeah, Lord Sear and Rude Jude have a. I don't have XM anymore, although I'm still a stockholder.
But he was Stretch and Bob. That's where he was on Stretch and Barbito.
Okay, you know. But he now has the afternoon show, afternoon drive on Shade 45 is okay. Lord Sear and this dude Rude Jude, who gets a shout out on the Eminem album, and
yeah,
also
does.
Used to be on Jenny Jones. Okay. So do your hip hop trivia, Rude Jude, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's end the show with Rude Jude.
Yeah, let's end the show going out to this one's good as the red.
All right, I'm shutting this off.
No, hold on. Before we go, seriously, the name of the podcast is still currently undecided, but I think
it's Chrome Bills.
It's either Chrome Bills or Let Me Find Out. Or it could be Chrome Bills.
Or Hip Hop Happy Hour. Because we've
Hip Hop Happy Hour.
Progressively drunker.
Yeah, you may notice that your boy has been drinking as this continued to go on. As it should be. We're at 71 minutes, which is a very nice length
That's
for a
strong.
Podcast.
And actually, you know, I think we should maybe bring one more person into the mix once I get a little more room in the studio, just to add, you know.
All right, so closing.
Like you're supposed to travel with three people, you know?
All right, so closing arguments then would be propose who you think the additional people would or persons could be in the Chrome Bills situation, at which point Chrome Bills gets thrown out as a name.
No, it's definitely,
and
it's definitely Chrome Bills.
It's either
with featuring.
Oh, and you have a third mic. So who's rocking third mic? And by the way, with the current equipment set up in the studio, third mic is going to be very challenging.
Christmas is right around the corner.
That's true. That's true.
I got these names right here.
All right, let's hear it.
Petey Sugg, number one.
Okay.
Scott Drummond. Matt
okay.
Moorhead.
Okay.
Bart Lamont.
Okay.
C's Mikes.
Okay.
I'd
throw Jason in there too, except he's in Philly.
Yeah.
I don't know if we could get a cell phone thing working.
I don't know Jason like that, but he'd fit in, right?
I'm sure it'd be fine off the jump.
Flex Matthews, if he were so inclined.
Oh shit! You know it could actually be. So the fact that we've listed seven names would be. What if we had a rotating third mic?
That's cool. I would. That would.
What if we made a goal to always do three people, but the third mic, and that way it could be Chrome Bills.
Yep.
Because I would, you know, to compare to like a radio show, I like Opie and Anthony. I always thought the funniest people were the people I'd learned about on the show:
Bill Burr, Patrice
O'Neill, exactly, people like that, which are way funnier than anyone that's actually on the show.
Jim Norton.
But I'm not going to take away from the people that do the show because they are the backbone.
All
so.
Right. That's a
and
good
becomes,
idea to me.
It becomes a structure thing. So yeah, very very much so.
And sound effects on deck.
Sound effects on deck.
Probably theme song on deck. That's only makes sense.
I think comes to you know, settling on a name. At which point, I think it'd be really cool to do like a production piece where maybe like we get an instrumental, there's some scratches, I'll rhyme for like eight bars or something. Like it'd be really cool to do something like that very easy.
All right. Word up. Peace out.
So this is closing arguments, event horizons of the podcast. We're at about 74 minutes. 1, 2, 3, 4. We're out.